when you finally get out of something scary, sometimes you look back and you think, wait a minute, what was I so afraid of? I feel that way when I run out of milk. Hello and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
My name is Dan Goubert, and I am a cereal stuntman in that I let all the world's worst cereals blow up in my face so you don't have to try them at home.
We have got a big show for you. We were absent our usually scheduled release day, and I'm sorry for that, but here we are now sharing in each other's company in the warmth of our hearth. Yes, that's right. Dan and I finally installed the hearth. We had talked about it for so long, and we finally did it. There is no obligation on you, though, for the next half hour or so. We would ask that you simply relax and enjoy some cereal, or don't, and just think about cereal. Dan, a lot of news. This is always a hot time in the cereal biz, and this January is no exception.
Yeah, it almost seems like we're getting more new cereals this January than any January prior, which is really surprising, again, just because January is such a month, a hot month for new cereal news. But some of these select headlines that we are going to fit into this episode include one that I am very excited about as a Crave fan. This is chocolate chip cookie dough Crave. This one has been out actually for a couple weeks now, and I just haven't been able to find it yet, which is really frustrating because I feel like I'm one of the few people online willing to vocally defend this cereal against the rare breed of people who think it tastes like dog food and hate every single aspect about this sweet, sweet, pillowy chocolate filled cereal.
You know what? All apologies to Gabe over at cereal time. But I like Crave too. I crave sometimes. It's not an every time bowl. And I'll be honest, I've gotten to the bottom of a couple bowls of Crave where I thought, oofa doofa, this was not a wise choice I made. This is sitting heavy. But overall, I like Crave.
Yeah, it doesn't often get variants. So you obviously have your standard chocolate and double chocolate are kind of the standard flavors. There was once a S'mores Crave that was discontinued because it wasn't all that popular. There was Halloween Crave, which was literally just Crave with orange shells. They were really, really beautiful, though. Lit up like jack-o'-lanterns, essentially. There was also a variant of Crave that came out recently that was literally just Crave with double the chocolate. And they also had double chocolate with double the chocolate. So I do agree with you that this is a cereal that has the potential to get very heavy. It's definitely different from your standard puff cereal that it really has obviously nothing inside versus actual chocolate inside.
Right.
But in terms of just pure indulgence, it's one of my favorites. And that's why I think the chocolate chip cookie dough version probably won't taste all that different, just because they're only reflavoring the shell, not as much the actual filling, which will just be chocolate. But I feel like you can't really go wrong with anything in the chocolate chip spectrum. Mm-hmm. Chocolate chip Pop-Tarts, as well as chocolate chip cookie dough Pop-Tarts, are both my favorite Pop-Tart flavors, probably. And yeah, it's just cookie dough can't be beat, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, cookie dough is good. No great revelations on this episode so far. Except, tell me about chocolate honeycomb Big Bites. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, so Post is bringing back chocolate honeycomb. This is a cereal that was originally out in 2006, and even then, it was marketed as having a big taste and sort of a bigger size. So for some reason, they really just wanted to keep the jumbo aspect of chocolate honeycomb because the return of chocolate honeycomb will be in a larger than average size for fans of honeycomb pieces. And these will come in little flavor pouches instead of actual full-size bags, sort of marketing them as more of a snackable option. There will also be regular honeycomb honey packets as well.
It sounds good. Did you try this in the initial run?
Well, it was long before my blogging days, so if I did, I don't really have my thoughts articulated. I have been a very big fan of another cereal that's been discontinued for a while, is Strawberry Honeycomb. I think they did a really good job of not only making those aesthetically appealing, but somehow combining the golden honey goodness of honeycomb with sort of a less commonly associated with honey flavor like strawberry, and still making it a thorough, pleasant infusion. So I'm looking forward to chocolate honeycomb big bites as well, even if for some reason they're not appearing in the sort of full-sized box. Mm-hmm.
I see on here that the year of pebbles, which it's more of a trend. I don't know if it may be longer than a year, but I feel like Fruity Pebbles is having a moment. And that is continuing, it looks like.
Yeah, it seems like they sort of stockpiled a decade's worth of ideas and decided to just drop everything on in 2021, which is the 50th anniversary year of Pebbles cereal. And a couple episodes ago, we had an episode that was more or less entirely dedicated to new Pebbles products, and I thought that would be the end of it. We had already heard about Pebbles candy bars, Pebbles white chocolate bunnies, birthday cake Pebbles, Pebbles coffee creamer, as well as the very, very delightfully obscure Pebbles protein powder. But now there are also going to be, apparently, Pebbles crisps. These are sort of...
They're so... I can't parse them in my head.
I don't know if you've ever...
I'm, like, looking at a picture, and, like, I can't fathom it into food.
They remind me of, I don't know if you ever made these like in art class in school or whatever in elementary school, where you just melt a bunch of crayons and then bake them together in sort of one rainbow gob. That's kind of what these look like to me. But they're some sort of rice cake or pop crisp hybrid, where they're, again, like the honeycomb bits, meant to be more of a snacking thing than obviously a cereal. So those are in small bags as well.
Will that stop Dan and I from pouring it into a bowl and pouring milk on it? Likely it will not.
Will it stop people from asking whether it's cereal in our Is It Cereal segment? It's yet to be seen.
I'll get ahead of this one and say it. It is cereal.
But that's not all either.
No,
because
no.
There will also be Duncan Hines, in all caps, epic cake mix featuring Fruity Pebbles flavor. This is kind of a misleading one, because you look at it as an actual product and you think it's going to be this thoroughly infused Fruity Pebbles cake, but in reality this is just sort of a confetti cake mix or a birthday cake mix that also includes a little bit of Pebbles cereal for you to, you know, throw into your dough or batter or whatever. So not really outside the realms of something you could just make at home. It makes me think that use of the all capital epic tag really should be like regulated by the FDA or something, because this is decidedly not an epic cake mix, and I am not epically looking forward to it.
No, yeah, there's not really a thing here, except I guess they get to sell their own confetti cake, which I'm sure Duncan Hines is thrilled about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems like everything returns to confetti cake in the cereal aisle lately, and I just have had enough of it. It's just so fluffy and not like multiple dimensions of flavor. So I'm more excited for the third new Pebbles release we're discussing here, which is Fruity and Cocoa Pebbles ice creams. I think Fruity Pebbles ice cream has been like a popular recipe, or at least like Pebbles ice cream cake is something that, you know, is really up there with the Muddy Buddies or the Chex Mixes or the Rice Krispie Treats of the very popular cereal recipe world. I've also learned that grape nuts ice cream is a popular thing, but that seems like a topic for a different day.
That sounds good, actually, now that you say that. I bet you are more excited for our next new Pop-Tarts offering.
Yeah, so the Pop-Tarts pretzel line, which debuted in chocolate pretzel as well as cinnamon sugar pretzel Pop-Tarts, was really, really one of my favorites. You know, of Pop-Tarts in recent memory, just because they do something bold, which is not just change the icing or the filling, but also changing the fundamental crust of the Pop-Tart. And that's where I think, you know, the future of Pop-Tarts innovation really lies, is in, you know, metamorphic crust technology and sort of adding new dimensions there. So the pretzel shell already seemed like something that was due for sequel iterations of Pop-Tart flavors. I would not have expected this upcoming release, which is salted caramel pretzel Pop-Tarts, It seems to me like peanut butter pretzel probably would have been my go-to for the next in line to the throne, but given how good the last two were, I doubt that these will be bad either.
Yeah, these look delicious. I love those other pretzel Pop-Tarts. Good stuff. And also, Dan, I'm in the mood to drink my cereal. I heard that you might be the man to talk to.
Yeah, if there's so many trends lately between confetti cake and sort of just this this sort of excessive licensing of cereal to other peripheral products, but also liquefying cereal and transmitting it into other states of matter also seems to be something that's happening a lot lately between, you know, the creamers of the world and these new Carnation Essentials cereal-flavored nutritional beverages. It'll be a mouthful in every sense of the word, but this is coming in three surprising flavors. You have Fruit Loops, Crave, and Golden Grahams.
Crave's is a wild pull here.
Well, to me, what's immediately the wild pull is Golden Grahams, just because that's a General Mills release and the others are Kellogg's.
Oh, that is weird. Yeah.
It's very, very strange that Carnation was able to, you know, build a bridge between these rival brands to collaborate on something that, like, I doubt anybody was really asking for, but these nutritionally enhanced cereal fortified drinks, which will, I don't know if I've actually had a Carnation breakfast essential, but I've had similar nutritional beverages that are like sort of on the textural border between milk and like a drinkable yogurt, and just that they're very, very thick and rich. And so even though it's supposedly good for developmental health or, you know, growing muscles or whatever you're using Carnation for, I think these will probably taste like diluted milkshakes.
The jingle used to always get stuck in my head. This is probably a bit before your time. It was Carnation Instant Breakfast. You're going to love it in an instant. I used to get that. Yeah, very catchy. That's the future. But I think on this show, if we celebrate and champion anything, it should be the ability to stay in the present and to hover in the present moment. So let's talk about some cereals that are currently available. I want to usurp your order here and just say a huge thank you to the listeners that were kind enough to track down and send some Honey Made cereal my way. Honey Made cinnamon, that is, not the s'mores thing. I gotta say, Dan, I get it, bud. It's really good. It's really good. It's a baby between Golden Grahams and Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and it's just perfect. And boy, howdy. Thank you, Honey Made, and thank you, listeners, for your kindness. I appreciate you. But you got your mitts on some chocolate strawberry Cheerios and multigrain strawberry.
Yeah, so Cheerios decided to drop two strawberry-related varieties at the same time. So first we have chocolate strawberry Cheerios, which I gotta say kind of missed the mark on my expectations, at least, just because I'm a really big fan of chocolate peanut butter Cheerios, just because they have this really thick and satisfying powdered coating to them that really, really does the heavy lifting when it comes to obviously tasting good, and two, making it less of the wholesome Cheerios experience that you get just from your out-of-the-box toasted oats. But that aside, we didn't get that with these chocolate strawberry Cheerios, and instead, it's basically just like a 50-50 mix of chocolate Cheerios and the strawberry Cheerios that were a summer exclusive for a while. I don't know if they haven't been coming out in recent years, I don't believe, but this is a good combo. I think that these are both Cheerios flavors that are tasty, quality, well-formulated, but something about eating them dry together produces this weird, almost like waxy aftertaste. I don't really understand it. Maybe it's like a Valentine's Day nod to those wax candy lips or something, but I don't know. It just stood out to me, and thankfully it goes away in milk, so I think you probably really have to be into chocolate and strawberry as a combo to get excited about this. Otherwise, if you're really looking for, you know, potency of flavor, I would go with the chocolate and peanut butter. What's surprising then is that the multigrain Cheerios with strawberries, which sounds far simpler and more minimalistic, actually works extremely well.
I gotta say, aesthetically, they're beautiful. I mean, the colors on these things are gorgeous, at least judging by the box art. I haven't seen them in person.
Yeah, this is like this sort of cereal that even just pouring it normally with milk, it'll look very close to how you see it on the box. That sort of idealistic place setting of like a very wholesome cereal with strawberries in it is kind of a classical on-box image. And most of the time, like, I'm not going to put actual strawberry or banana in my cereal. So it's nice to be able to get that all in one, because the cereal feels healthy when you're eating it. Like, I'm not going to pretend I'm a nutritionist and say that this is really, really good for you, but obviously it's got these really, really small shards of dried strawberry. I think my problem with other dried strawberry cereals, like Honey Bunches of Oats strawberry, is that they have these really, really large, like, chip-sized dried strawberries, and...
Yeah,
the texture on those is not ideal. I don't really like the chew of them. So by sort of dicing those into a lot of little pieces in these Cheerios, you get a much better distribution of both texture and taste. So you really do get some aspect of strawberry in every spoonful instead of having to fish for that.
I also really just like, I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but I really like multigrain Cheerios.
Yeah, I can't even, like, describe what sets it apart from normal Cheerios. It just tastes like multiple grains, I guess, but...
There's a heartiness. A heartiness. Well, maybe less hearty, but maybe more delicious. I have no idea. Is Chocolate Churro Toast Crunch. The review for this is was recently placed on Cerealously.net, so you can read Dan's thoughts there, but you don't have to wait. We've got him right here coming in live via satellite. Dan, how is Chocolate Churro Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
I gotta say, I'm not that into it. It tastes good, don't get me wrong. It tastes exactly like Chocolate Toast Crunch, which, if you've had it, is sort of like this 80-20 ratio of sweet cocoa powder to just this very, very barely cinnamon-accented sugar as well. Because, you know, if you're eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you don't really expect it to taste that much like spicy, biting cinnamon. So that's what you get here as well in the churro form. So it's good. You're going to like it. But I just am so over the churro shape because you can't get a lot of them in one spoonful. If you try to eat this really fast without looking, you're probably going to, like, lance your palate like it's a little jousting rod. I just don't see why General Mills had to put so much production money into making something that no one was really asking for, like a geometric shift in cereal, instead of trying to do something different. I get it. It's probably cheaper since they already had the churro mold, they already had the chocolate cinnamon flavoring, but I don't know. It's more about the flavor than the shape of my cereal, so please go farther there.
I wanted to briefly highlight, I got my hands on a box of Crayola Jazzberry cereal, which sounds like a euphemism for something, I don't know, but it is not. It is just a Crayola cereal, and I liked it more than I thought I would. It basically looks like Trix, though the is slightly less resistant to chewing than Trix. There's like the texture is something akin to, I try to describe it to Dan as like the outside of Crave. Like there's like a little less resistance in milk, and it's a little softer chew. But the flavors are still nice, and it's also got, and you can kind of make it out in the box, there's like a coating of very tiny sprinkles. I mean, really, really tiny. If you think of like non-Perrielles or hundreds and thousands, they're like even smaller than those by a factor. But every once in a while, you have a bite and then there's a slight bit of resistance and there's a bit of like second crunch. You know what I'm saying? Like from biting down on one of these tiny little sprinkle pieces.
Right.
That was actually really good. I was surprised by how much I dug it. My kids really like it. It's very colorful. You can draw on the box, which is fun. I guess you can draw on any box. this actively encourages you drawing. I don't know what jazzberries are still. That's troubling. But I, I head and shoulders above some of the other just like generically fruity licensed things that we've seen come down the pike, like your Catacorns or Llama Loops.
So which like popular fruity cereal would you say it's closest to? Because I haven't tried this yet.
It is closest to Trix, I would say. Okay. But not exactly the same. It didn't give me the like big berry hit of like your wild berry Fruit Loops. Nothing that quite that extreme. But good, you know. Pretty good.
Is it exactly what you'd expect a crayon to taste like in your mind?
Well, my kids have eaten plenty of crayons, so I asked them to compare, and this came out on top. So congratulations, man. Crayola and Kellogg's, you did it. We kind of opened up a Pandora's box of cereal with a question posed a couple episodes ago about different food combinations and are they cereal or not. So rather than play some voicemails, I'm just going to bring some to Dan and kind of get his judgment on it, because I feel like he's the expert here. And here's the first one. Hey, Dan, this is Roel from Greensboro, North Carolina. My question about is it cereal stems from an answer that you've already given. I agree that raw pasta and milk is nothing, but I found out through TikTok how Taco Bell cinnamon twists are made, which is deep frying spiral pasta. So here lies the question. Are cinnamon twists in a bowl of milk cereal? Thank you for your podcast and your time. And Roel, this is very interesting to me. This one set me back. I'm looking forward to getting Dan's thoughts.
Okay. I think from a surface level, yes, this is a cereal. It sounds a lot like a Cinnamon Toast Crunch knockoff. Like, I'm surprised this hasn't actually happened as a cereal already. Taco Bell teaming up with somebody to make a cinnamon twist cereal. But while I think it's a cereal, I feel like you're very, very limited in the time that you can call it a cereal, because these things are so airy that I feel like after a few, like, even more than like 15 seconds in milk, they would probably just dissolve into sort of cinnamon detritus. I don't know what you think, though.
Yeah, you know, the fact that they are pasta had never occurred to me before. If I'd asked that without that knowledge, I probably still would have said yes. And I feel like this would be cereal. It would actually, you know, it's funny you say it's surprising they have a license. It would be extremely close to the churros cereal. It's maybe even closer to the churro cereal than churros are. Like, it's very, they would be very, very similar. Here's one. Empty bowl newcomer here. As an oatmeal gal, I'm reaching out on behalf of my cooked cereal brethren to raise an eyebrow at the criterion of does it float? Which I feel like you've already walked back, but possible questions. How would you characterize this category of cereal you talk about versus cooked cereals? Is there some sort of official umbrella term? And if we accept cooked cereals are like oatmeal or cream of wheat are also cereals, what about bread pudding or baked oatmeal? That's from Oatmeal Jess from Canada.
Sorry, a poster just fell down behind me.
That's from Oatmeal Jess from Canada.
Okay, so I feel like, much like the does it float controversy, I feel like I'm going to ruffle a lot of feathers by saying that, yes, oatmeal and cream of wheat are cereals. They're very, very popularly known as hot cereals. But, like, I kind of don't care. Like... How many times
like
on this
shredded wheat, right? It's a cereal, but like, what do you cares?
What do you gain from calling it a cereal, really?
Well, once you start to get into that question, this whole bit falls apart, Dan.
Right, right. We'll just be debating different these sort of botanical varieties of fine ancient grains, but I think from a literal factor, sure, it's a cereal, but we get back to what I talked about last time of is it cereal versus is it a cereal, and something about oatmeal's never going to get me excited quite like cereal is. I don't look forward to Saturday mornings spent eating oatmeal and watching the news.
Yeah.
But I guess people can keep asking about cooked cereals. If the question's like a bread pudding or a baked oatmeal, I feel like you lose a lot of the viscosity component there.
I feel like too solid to be cereal.
Yeah, it's got to be able to, I guess sort of you're tilting it down a ramp. It's got to be able to at least make it to the bottom.
Okay, that's...
yeah, scientific, right?
Hello, Dan and Justin. I recently bought lavender and cardamom syrup from a local store. I was thinking of adding these two syrups to cereal milk to accentuate the cereal taste. What cereal would you pair with lavender syrup? And what about cardamom syrup? Thanks for the podcast, Chloe. Now, this isn't a question of what is and what isn't cereal, but this question of flavored milk is very interesting to me. As a novice, as just a cereal appreciator, I would think you'd want to go with something a little more plain flavor-wise, maybe with a very light sweetness, but nothing too intense, like a Cheerio or a Special K, perhaps, might be nice. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, I really like lavender scent and flavoring, but I've never even considered it as a cereal pairing before, so this is a very interesting question to me. I was looking up what things are commonly paired with lavender, and, like, lavender mint is pretty popular, so that leads me to think, like, the Elf on the Shelf cereal, but that'd probably be, like, one of the worst ideas in modern history to combine lavender syrup with, so I might lean towards something more citrusy, like a Very Berry Cheerio, a Trix, or you know, I'm thinking of something even funkier, probably the ideal pairing if you can pull off this very, very specific inclusion. The H-E-B strawberry matcha fusion with lavender seems like
cool.
It would be a really, really good ambrosial mix of these sort of things that you don't find in a cereal bowl very often. Also, that, the color of that would be wild.
That is highfalutin, Dan, I gotta say.
Mm-hmm. High concept. You won't get that
high
out of oatmeal.
Concept. Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast. Dan, do you feel like doing more voicemails, opening up a new voicemail question? Anything interest you that you'd like to hear from people on?
I'm
trying to think.
Okay, I've got one. We're talking about flavoring syrups, what do you think would be the best combo for something that's a little off the wall? That's kind of an open-ended question, but if we're talking about spiking your cereal, what are you going to spike it with?
I love that. And if you want to respond to this, head on over to bowl.rest, and that is where you can leave us a message. If you want to plug in a mic to your computer, that's great. Phone is also fine. That is going to do it for this episode. You know, leaving us a message is just one way to get in contact. You can email us mail@bowl.rest. If you head over to bowl.rest, you can also support the show. You can pledge a buck all the way up to $10 a month to support the show. Half of that goes to keep serialistly.net going. The other half goes to a local shelter for people experiencing homelessness in our area, my area, more specifically, Huntington, West Virginia. It's called Harmony House, and they're a great organization. So if you could support us there, we'd really appreciate it.
Yes, we'd like to thank M. Loper for being our wonderful editor. We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for the opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, as well as Bria Davis for our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful podcast art.
That is going to do it for us for this episode. Thank you again for joining us, and be sure to join us again next time on The Empty Bowl. Until then, for Dan Gubert, my name is Justin McElroy, and as always, don't forget
to drink
lay milk. I said lay milk. I'm a little French.
Putting in layman's terms.
Continental. No, not layman, lay milk.
Okay. Well...